This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakraborty.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. Using the commuter rail in and out of Boston has been a bear for the past few weeks.
Honestly, it might have been actually easier if you were a bear. A polar bear, at least, because the commuter rail has had serious trouble getting operations back online after our major winter storms. Dozens of trains canceled, and those that are running are on a modified schedule.
And today, Governor Charlie Baker admitted that given how big a deal this is, he probably should have gotten engaged directly with the public transit system sooner.
It's a meaningful shift in tone from yesterday when Baker met with officials from Keolis, the private company that operates the commuter rail, and said he was, quote, done with excuses from the company.
Whatever the service level is at night, it better be that the next morning. And the traveling public needs to be able to stand on a platform and actually know what the story is with respect to the trains.
In a moment, we're going to hear the deeper backstory of the commuter rail's woes. But first, we're joined by Keolis spokesman Mac Daniel. Mac, welcome to the program.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for joining us. And listeners, if you have a question for Keolis, call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. If you're a commuter who uses commuter rail regularly, what has it been like for you the past few days, past few weeks? Again, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Or you can fire off a tweet at Radio Boston. All right, Mac, so obviously the commuter rail has suffered just as the rest of the MBTA has in the past several weeks due to this terrible weather. But just on Tuesday alone, I read that 20 trains were canceled. I mean, what is the reason why there has been such paralysis on commuter rail?
It's kind of multifaceted. Some obviously has to do with the snow and its impact on the rail equipment. Anybody who's ridden commuter rail recently knows that when your train lets you off finally at your destination, the undercarriage of the passenger cars and the locomotives are just coated in snow. And this causes any number of mechanical problems, from brake problems to air compression and so forth. So that's one thing. We're having locomotives get disabled in the field and they need to be rescued, and it's just causing a lot of delays. And then that goes back to the equipment, which we can't ignore. It's not an excuse, as the governor said, but at the same time, it's old. I rode in a pre-unification passenger car from West Germany recently, and so it'll give you some sense as to the age of the fleet, and that is a factor and needs to be factored in.
So you actually rode in a car from West Germany, a nation that doesn't even exist anymore.
That's correct.
Okay. I mean, but what about were there any contingency plans in place that Keolis and commuter rail might have had, you know, in the event of extreme weather like this?
We did. For every storm that we faced over the last several weeks, we had a snow plan in place. What we didn't have in place is knowing the back-to-back-to-back nature of these storms and the impact that they would have on the entire system. And what ended up happening is that we were still trying to catch up from the last storm when another one would hit. This clogged our maintenance facilities, both north and south of town, and made it difficult for locomotives and passenger cars to get in there to get fixed and cleaned. And then things literally snowballed from there.
Mm. Now, Keolis today issued a letter to MBTA commuter rail passengers, essentially apologizing for poor communication. Now, this is one thing which I think anyone who rides public transit, whether it's the MBTA or commuter rail, would expect better of. So why the poor communication, and why did it take so many days? And following a meeting with Governor Baker, for Keolis to say, yeah, we're sorry, we can do better on this, telling folks when the trains are going to arrive, or, you know, when they're likely to ever get to their destination.
Right. What the governor was referring to primarily were the T alerts, which we put out about delayed or canceled trains. What's been happening is that because of the number of delays and cancellations we're having on a daily basis, early morning to late evening, those T alerts were getting overwhelmed. And so passengers on board some of those trains were getting just useless information, basically being told that they were delayed or on a canceled train when they were there already. part of the problem as well is that we needed to make them kind of more, or we need to make them more passenger friendly. Right now they're very kind of operations oriented and more geared towards kind of letting the operators know that a train is late or canceled as opposed to letting the passengers know. So we're in the midst right now of kind of revising the T-Alert system to make it more customer friendly, more useful, and more accurate.
Mm. Now, Governor Baker has also said that he wants more information about what Keolis's service recovery plan or new plans are going to be. Can you give us details?
Sure. We've been meeting with the governor's staff at times twice a day now since yesterday, and we've got a plan in place that is going to basically help the system fully recover. The first portion of it involves clearing snow and ice from our key maintenance facilities. We need these free of snow, not just the tracks cleared, but the snow actually removed, which has been a daunting task given the infrastructure of the tracks there. It's hard to bring a dump truck to haul out snow on a series of tracks that are at times active or mostly active during the day. So that's one point. The other is to set up a recovery maintenance plan to repair the disabled locomotives and passenger cars that we have online. We're currently, the recovery schedule that we're on right now is operating at 62% of what the regular weekday schedule would be. Mm. So that's you know, 40% of the trains canceled or pre-canceled in order to kind of make room for the working equipment that's there. But obviously, we're experiencing crowded trains, and we're still experiencing delays and cancellations. But if we can get more locomotives online and more passengers and make those cars or those train sets larger, then we can solve a lot of the problems that our passengers are seeing nowadays.
Is there any chance that more of those locomotives are going to be able to get back online, say, by Monday, when a lot of people who may be taking time off because it's school vacation week are going to be going back to work?
Yeah, Monday's a key day. And yes, we will have more locomotives online. And it still remains to be seen, and we'll know more tomorrow as to what Monday's going to look like service-wise. We may revise this recovery schedule and add more trains in order to increase capacity, but we're still trying to see what our mechanics can, what miracles our mechanics can work between now and then.
Listeners, I'm speaking with Mac Daniel. He's a spokesman for Keolis, the operator of the MBTA's commuter rail. If you have a question for him, call us at 1-800-423-8255. Mac, stand by, because I do want to take a quick call here. Michael is calling from Gloucester. You're on the air, Michael.
Hey, I want to talk about the 25 people that were left in North Station on Monday night. They were told by the employees of the rail system that the train was coming. The train never came. My wife left North Station at 2:30 in the morning and had to go stay someplace else. She doesn't even know if the train ever arrived.
This is a late night train, I'm assuming.
This is the last train leaving North Station on Monday night.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look. I think on Monday night we were having problems with the switches just north of North Station. That may have been the problem, is that you had a train that was inbound to pick up your wife and those other passengers, and it just couldn't make it. There should have been customer service representatives there at North Station to find her and the other passengers alternative transportation. What time at night again was this?
There were two security guards, and they were not employees of the railroad. The employees of the railroad left these people standing in the station believing that the train was coming, and they just took off. 2 hours before my wife left the station, the employees left.
It sounds like it was in the wee hours of the morning, Michael. Michael, thank you so much for your call. I want to get one more person in here. Samantha is calling from the Back Bay. You're on the air, Samantha.
Hi, thank you. Well, I'd say that even now, the one of the big problems that I have, I ride the Worcester-Framingham line, is that the T sends conflicting information, even today. If you look at the MBTA website for the service recovery schedule, you would think that on the Worcester-Framingham line there are about 12 or 14 trains running in each direction, but the email alert that I received last night said that there'd be four trains running today.
I think that's a part of the problem with the T-alerts that we talked about earlier. Those T-alerts, in some cases, haven't taken into account the recovery schedule, and therefore they're burping out bad information about trains that were already pre-canceled as part of the new schedule. And that's one of the things that we're working on a fix for.
Samantha, thank you for your call. Mac, I just got you for another minute here, and I just do want to ask you a question which is probably on a lot of commuters' minds. Does the very hobbled performance that we've seen from Keolis during the spate of winter storms we have, does it not show us that maybe Keolis isn't fit to run the commuter rail? I mean, even before all this bad weather, the MBTA was forced to levy maximum penalties for late trains and other problems, lack of cleanliness in the stations and the cars. You know, something like penalties from October through January, more than $3 million. And that's even before the snow started falling.
It's true. And that's an ingrained part of the contract we have with the MBTA. I think actually Keolis is an extremely competent company to run MBTA commuter rail, and we care a lot. We care a great deal about this, and we heard as much as our passengers when we experienced problems like this. There are a lot of very bright people here, and I think we have to look at solutions that can work within our parameters, and those parameters include the aging fleet and all of the foibles that go along with having a three-week snowstorm period. But I'm confident that we can come back. I think this is an indication that, as you've talked about and others have talked about looking at transit in general in Massachusetts and looking at the funding of transit and looking at infrastructure and trying to find ways to improve things instead of kind of working within the current situation.
Although, Mac, let me ask you, I mean, in the case of Keolis, it's a private subcontractor that is being paid by the MBTA, and Keolis bid $250 million less over its 12-year contract than the previous operator. I mean, Keolis has said it would be able to run the commuter rail for less money.
Yeah, well, Boston was a very important contract for Keolis, and I think we knew going in kind of what the parameters were, and we were confident that we can change things. Please take into account that we've only been at this now since July of last year, so we are still relatively new. Nonetheless, we need to find a way to work within the parameters of the system and for our partners at the T and at the Commonwealth to make things better, and we're working to do that.
Well, Mac Daniel is spokesman for Keolis, which operates the commuter rail. Mac, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us and your commuters here on Radio Boston.
Thank you.
All right, well, let's take a closer look at the problems which have been plaguing the commuter rail long before these storms. And to do so, let's turn to Michael Fitzgerald. He's a freelance journalist, and he wrote a piece entitled "Will the MBTA Commuter Rail Ever Run on Time?" It was featured in this Sunday's Boston Globe magazine. Michael, welcome to you.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So, I mean, what would you say is the commuter rail's biggest problem that existed even before the snow started falling? Mac Daniel seemed to basically say that it was baked in the cake that a major failure would happen.
I don't think that they thought this was going to happen. So when I was talking with them, you know, it was before the first snow, and they were kind of, I think, curious themselves to see what was going to happen when they got the first big snow. And obviously we see that wasn't just the one snow, but this succession of snows, this unprecedented amount of snow disaster, really exposed everything that could go wrong with this system all at once, and then just kept recurring because of the nature of snow and the way the railroads react to snow. Mm. So I think that there are some long-term cultural issues that you observe there, and that any management team coming in from the outside, I mean, there's six French people, right, is how they put it. And there are some other new blood, some people they hired to come in and work with them, and the MBTA has hired as well. But there's a process, a way of things, that things have been done all along. And the Keolis officials were pretty upfront that so far they've only begun to start changing the way that the T operates. Mm. When they get their management techniques that they've talked about with me implemented, that probably starts to help change some of the nature of what's going on. And clearly, you know, they've had a very visible set of failures. The caller that whose wife got left behind, that's the kind of thing that, as a management company, you can't fix that. Then you actually aren't competent. But it would also be an easy fix, right? Yeah. So you would guess that that thing would get fixed pretty quickly.
Well, I wonder, I mean, you wrote this piece about the difficulties that commuter rail had, you know, as we must stress, before these storms even began. I mean, from your observation and your reporting, you know, why is it such a challenge to keep the trains running on time, even under the best of circumstances?
I don't think we're a train culture anymore. I think for the last 50 years as a region and as a nation, we have de-emphasized a lot of our rail travel. And I think that there is kind of a complicit sort of sense of, well, it is the trains, it's the commuter rail, it's not as important as other modes of transportation, and we take it because we have to.
What are some of those cultural differences? I mean, you've written about how when Keolis took over the contract, they already were dealing with, from day one, understaffing, and even the recall of, 40 new locomotives that had only recently been delivered.
And they got to use, you know, 6 of those for a little while. And they'll be coming on 3 at a time if the T is able to certify them as fast as it says. But some of the things that you run into are you do have a substantial number of engines that are older than the Ford Pinto, right, that are still in service and really past their useful life. You have a lot of track that, you know, a lot of the problem that they have, especially coming out of the North Station lines, is that those lines are under construction, and they have been for a couple of years, and they will be for the rest of this year. So you really will have no chance to see improvements in performance on those rails until 2016. Same is true in the Framingham-Worcester line. So some of these things are old infrastructure elements that are known problems that are being addressed, but it takes time to replace the miles of track that are out there and to upgrade stations and things like that. And I think there's something like 655 miles of track in the Boston area. Mm. The people issues, so when I got there, I was starting my story reporting in December, late December, and Keolis had just finished training its first class of assistant conductors. So they had basically gone from July 1st to more or less, let's say, December 31st, without really enough assistant conductors to help get the train doors open and shut in proper fashion and to be on the train and be a presence. So, you know, that's some of the time frame that you're looking at. How long does it take to train people? How long does it take to implement new kinds of management styles or new kinds of operational techniques? These are the kinds of things that they were already starting to try to work and change, but clearly it had taken months to be able to start to move even the needle a little bit.
Right. And I mean, I'm interested in what you've written about how even little things like speed restrictions in work or construction zones, because we don't have, you know, a very robust system of parallel tracks, for example, it creates choke points, which then ripple throughout the commuter rail system.
This is an ongoing problem, right? And it's a problem for Amtrak. It's a problem for passenger rail. I've ridden passenger rail in other parts of the country, and it's a problem in other parts of the country as well. We have, over time, gotten rid of a lot of the rail infrastructure we used to have. And so there are miles of track in various places, like coming into Boston near Reedville through Waltham, where you really only have one track. And it's going to be used potentially by Amtrak, by the commuter rail, and by freight trains. So you have to juggle all these demands for performance, but it's sort of like when my parallel is coming between Cambridge and Boston on the bridge between Harvard Square and Soldier Field Road. They've got one lane there. It's a pain in the neck, and if you hit it the wrong time of day, you're not getting through there in half an hour sometimes.
Right. Now, you also wrote about, we've just got a couple minutes here left to go, but you wrote about some ways in which commuter rail service could be improved, you know, storms or not. Like, what's the top two ways you think that improvement, tangible improvement, could be implemented?
Well, it's pretty clear that if you do upgrade your trains, if you've got trains, these new locomotives, that's going to be really helpful. And you know, it's taking a long time to certify those. It's also pretty clear that when you have some operational changes in terms of communicating with passengers, in terms of having personnel in place to, you know, open and shut the train steps, that's going to help a lot. So there are some quick fixes that they should be able to sort of bring in terms of how they're communicating, how they work within their operational management. You know, I don't know how, I don't get into how they schedule maintenance and such, but clearly we can't judge their maintenance based on this kind of epic outlier disaster. But, you know, there are some things that you can do from an operational perspective that should turn things around, even if you don't have the trains in place.
Michael, my final question to you, I mean, I don't know if you had a chance to discuss this with Keolis officials, but are any of these things possible given, you know, the low bid that they put in to get this contract? I guess I'm asking you as a reporter the same question that I asked Mac. I mean, they said they could run the commuter rail for $250 million less.
I think given some of the things they're talking about on the management side, at least, it's not very difficult stuff that they're talking about. It's things that kind of make you scratch your head and say, why isn't this already being done? I mean, they're talking about certifications and following industry best practices, jargon like that. But it's stuff that's fairly straightforward that should be relatively simple to implement through management and kind of working to change the culture. So are they going to be competent over time? I don't think we can judge them based on what happened with this storm. This is an outlier kind of storm. Is the Army Corps of Engineers incompetent because of what happened in New Orleans after Katrina? I don't think you can make that judgment. I think in a year or a year and a half, when some of these projects are fixed and these new locomotives are presumably all in place, if we're still having these kinds of problems, then you can start asking that question and have some serious evidence to back you up.
Well, Michael Fitzgerald is a freelance journalist, and his piece entitled Will the MBTA Commuter Rail Ever Run on Time is featured in this Sunday's Boston Globe magazine. There's a link to it at our website, radioboston.org. Michael, thank you so much for your reporting and for joining us today.
It was my pleasure.
Believe it or not, the local weather's been worse, a lot worse. New England once saw hurricanes that really battered the region. How we know this and what this history means, coming up. I'm Lisa Mullins.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.